The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's Wells Fargo Championship. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Hey, Greg.
Rick, looking forward to this one. Great. We got a great golf course. We got a great field. Getting us ready for a major championship. I think there's a lot of similarities between this setup and a PGA championship. Some differences, but I think there's some similarities as well.
Okay, I want to hear about those, but before we do, this is where I would be mashing the breaking news drop, but we don't have one, so just assume that it's like breaking news, breaking news.
Well, maybe we have one now.
As of 20 minutes ago, Ludvig Åberg has withdrawn from the Wells Fargo Championship. He said, quote, "Unfortunately, I'm dealing with a knee issue, and after consulting with my doctors, we think it's best that I take some additional time to rest. I hope everyone has a great week, and I look forward to teeing it up next week." So that's a very professional statement. He told us what's wrong, and he told us a timeline of when we can expect his return. So I hate to see a guy this young dealing with any type of injury, but already planning to be back in action next week for the PGA Championship.
He is very young for something like this. You know, I haven't heard of any reports of him dealing with injuries like this in college, which is a good sign. Look, golfers are people too, and they can get hurt. So it doesn't necessarily mean there's a long-term issue going on, which I certainly hope is the case.
If there is any good news that comes out of this at all, it does squash the idea that Ludvig is a robot. He is indeed human. His blood is red. He does feel pain, and he's dealing with knee pain.
Yes, unless he's making it up. He still could be a robot, but I wouldn't say that's very likely. So, yes, he's human. The other piece of good news is everybody else in the field doesn't have to deal with his driver for the week, which, boy, when I was looking at this, I'm thinking this could be a Ludvig-type golf course, big time.
Certainly could be. That golf course is Quail Hollow. It's a course that we see every single year on the PGA Tour, sometimes in major championships, sometimes in the President's Cup, but mostly for the Wells Fargo Championship. Before we jump into that golf course, Greg, reminder, this is a signature event. It's now down to 69 golfers. There will not be a cut for guaranteed rounds. This is not like Riviera. It's not like the Memorial where they have those cuts for those weeks. So this is another small field with the top players in the world, minus Scotty, minus Ludvig.
Yes, first and second in the Masters. Missing both of those guys. But still very, very high caliber players behind them. I'm looking forward to diving in and breaking that down. But Rick, when you look at this golf course, it suits. I mean, there are great champions here because it requires an all around skill set. And I was making some notes before. I'm looking at this saying, okay, well, driving distance is a huge aspect here. It's a big golf course, over 7,500 yards at par 71. Par adjusted, it's the longest course on the PGA Tour. The fairways are hard to hit. The greens are very hard to hit. You know, you're talking about a green irregulation rate of about 60%. A lot of approach shots come from outside of 150 yards. So that makes it challenging. And because of that, short game comes into play. Your short game will be tested. And these are some really tricky greens as well. And, you know, winners here tend to have really good putting weeks as well. So you got to drive it well, at least long. Your iron play has to be spot on like it does every week to win. You got to get up and down when you do miss greens, and you got to make a lot of putts. So you got to do everything well here, which is why I think it produces the list of champions that it does.
Yeah, that's basically everything. And you're right. It's usually a big boys club when it gets to the Wells Fargo Championship. Josh, if you want to fire up my screen, I've got the scorecard here. And as Greg mentioned, that's a par 71, 75, 58. And the thing about this, and I'll overlay the scoring averages here, Greg, the ebbs and flows of this golf course, you are going to run into some resistance immediately in your round. All holes 1 through 6 have historically played over par. You will get a slight reprieve around the turn. 7 is gettable, 8 is scorable, 10 is scorable. Then you will go back 11, 12, 13. Those are all difficult holes. You've got one last crack at birdies on 14 and 15 before you get to the green mile, which is a very difficult stretch, one of the most difficult three-hole stretches that we get on the PGA Tour. That's 16, 17, and 18. So you've got to bob, you've got to weave, you've got to pick your spots, and you've got to just take what this golf course is going to give you. Sometimes it's going to give you bogey, and you got to have the ability to make a bogey and kind of just keep your head down.
Yeah, you know, even if you see a winning score like last year get to 19 under, there's a lot of really challenging shots that you're going to face during that stretch of 4 rounds. There will be difficult moments, which is a lot. That's why I think it's a lot like a PGA championship. I know it's a PGA championship venue from time to time. We will not see rough this week like we do when Quail Hollow hosts a PGA. That's the biggest difference in the golf course when it's a major and when it's a Wells Fargo. You're talking about 2-inch rough this week, which makes the driving aspect, the driving element, significantly easier. And it enhances the importance of distance, you could argue. Perhaps when the rough's long, it enhances distance as well. But you have to navigate these difficult stretches. You got to handle par fives. But when you get a wedge in your hand, it's rare, so you got to take advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Take advantage is a really good way to put it. That should be the motto for the week, and maybe exercise a little bit of patience. I can't wait any longer, Greg. I don't have any patience. I want to get to the top of the board. I want to start naming some names and look at this field. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Here is the cheat sheet from my website, rickrungood.com. And we now have three golfers over $10,000. Rory McIlroy is 11-8. Xander Schauffele is 11,500. Wyndham Clark is 10-5. And Ludwig, who has withdrawn, was in that $10,300 spot. So there's now a larger gap between Wyndham Clark and the guys in the 9K range. So just a trio now, Greg, at the top of the board.
Yes, and I have this feeling you want to go right to the top. It's not Scottie Scheffler. It is Rory McIlroy, and when he comes to Quail Hollow, he has a tendency of playing like Scottie Scheffler has been playing. He has just a tremendous record, which is not typically where I start. But when you look at his record here, it's a good place to start. He's won three times. He has a tied second way back in 2012, tied eighth the year before his most recent win. And a T22 in the PGA Championship. He has another T4 in there. He plays this golf course so well, as well as any on the PGA Tour. I think that has a lot to do with his driving. And he has been driving the ball really well away from Quail Hollow. So I expect that to continue. I love what Rory's doing with the driver. I think the win at the Zurich Classic, even though it's a team event and it's much more lighthearted, I think that's going to have a really positive impact on Rory. And so for those reasons, he's really hard for me to stay away from.
Yeah, three times a winner going for number four around this event, this golf course, and fresh off that victory with Shane Lowry, as Greg alluded to. Okay, so that leaves us with two. Xander Schauffele, Wyndham Clark. Is there a way that we can split hairs between these two?
Yes. And I would have to lean slightly towards Wyndham Clark.
Our defending champion.
I love what Xander's done. But, Xander's record here isn't quite... I mean, he did come in second last year.
Came in second to Wyndham last year, yes.
Wyndham.
Yeah.
There was a T14 in 21. I guess with that second last year, it looks a whole lot better. And he's been playing great golf, but I am just so impressed with Wyndham Clark, and it feels like his driver, which can get a little, he plays a lot of curve. Mm-hmm. It feels like he's got some space out here to really air it out and let it go. And I think that he's the best putter among the top players. Xander's right there with him. So you are still splitting hairs. But Wyndham just feels a little more ready to win than Xander. Feels like he's expecting to win. Whether that's right or wrong, it just feels like a much more difficult thing for Xander to do. So I lean slightly towards Wyndham over Xander.
I probably agree with you. The thing that I like about Xander is that he is very well-rounded. He's likely to be in the mix on Sunday. I think his floor is higher than Wyndham's. We've seen Wyndham miss the cut at the Masters, miss the cut at Riviera. Yeah. But the thing I like about Wyndham, a lot of things. You mentioned the driver. I just think it's also just club head speed, the ability to extract it from the rough. He's got a very sharp short game. The other thing is, he nearly played himself out of it in Harbortown in round one, and then he went nuts over the final three. So I think it's pretty easy to see the way that his game is trending right now. And he is $1,000 cheaper than Xander, which could open up some possibilities further down the board.
Yes. And we'll see what happens here. I'm wondering if there's a way to get Rory and Wyndham on the same team.
Ooh.
I think that might be a stretch.
There's one guy that I think is really mispriced down there. We'll get to him.
Yeah, we can get down there. Because I think with this kind of field, there's some good options. So I'm very curious there. I love the 7K range that can open up a lot of opportunity for you. I'd probably lean Wyndham. But all the things we say about Wyndham that are so good, I really do think Xander has them too. So I certainly wouldn't, if you were going to fade Rory, I wouldn't criticize you for going Xander.
With the Oberg WD, there's now a $700 gap between Wyndham Clark and that 9K range. That 9K range is led off by Patrick Cantlay at 9,800. Tommy Fleetwood sits at 95. Max Homa, he's won this event twice at two separate golf courses, 9,400. Colin Morikawa, 93. Victor Hovland back in action at 9,200. Sahith at 91. And that completes the $9,000 range, Greg. So certainly guys that I'm not super confident about the state of their game. So what do we do here?
No, I'm not super confident either, which plays in some part the Rory Wyndham combo possibility. I don't feel like you have to get any of these 9K guys into your lineup. But that being said, Going back to Max Homa, who plays really well here, I don't think we've seen anything from him that says there's trouble. Max Homa struggled. He came in tied 55th at the RBC Heritage the week after a very emotional Masters. I totally give him a break for that, and I expect to see Max Homa rebound and play some really good golf. He has become an extremely complete player and a much better player than he was when he won at Quail Hollow in 2019. I mean, he is leaps and bounds ahead of where he was then. So Max would be my favorite play in the 9K range. I think my second favorite, Rick, would probably be Cantlay. I'm a little reluctant there, but I do think his form has turned a corner.
Yeah. I mean, he finished T23 at Zurich, whether he won or missed the cut with Xander, I would throw that result out the window. I don't think it means anything. So it was a third at Harbortown, a 22nd at the Masters in his two starts prior to that. What I'm very curious about your thoughts on Tommy Fleetwood here, Craig, because he's been very well-rounded. The bag has been fairly clean. We saw the run at the Masters. If we're going to forgive Max Homa for a subpar effort the week after the Masters, then we've got to do it for others, including Tommy Fleetwood. And now I look at this profile. I look at his history here, which is a fifth and a 14th, and I start to get pretty excited.
So you're expecting fairness. I totally understand it, and I completely agree. I think Max Homa, I would rate Max Homa above Tommy Fleetwood in general, especially because of the ability Max has shown to win when he gets in contention.
So would
That would be the big edge why Homa's above Fleetwood. But Fleetwood has been rock solid. He's been very steady and could be a nice, you know, if you were going to go take a risk, let's say you're going to fade Rory. So Wyndham would be more risky than Xander, in my opinion. Even though my preferred play. So if you were going to go with Wyndham, Tommy Fleetwood may be a nice, safer option, a high likelihood of a solid performance, but maybe a little more limited in the possibility that he can win.
This section here, 9,300, Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, 9,200. Feels like the X factor spot. You know, this, if either one of these guys contended, I don't think there would be much surprise. If either one of them or both of them missed the cut, I don't know if there'd be a ton of surprise. What do we do here?
Except for the fact that there's no cut.
Oh, yeah. I guess that would be pretty surprised, wouldn't I? I would be very surprised. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So if they both,
your point is understood.
The top 60, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, what are we supposed to do with these two? Are we going to try to be early? Do we need to see signs of life? What are we doing?
What has Victor Hovland been up to? You know, that's a big question, because I think this is a really good golf course for him. But it feels like, listening to him speak at the Masters, watching the performance at the Masters, it seems like there's a lot going on. And I'm very curious how quickly he can kind of unravel that in his mind and perform like the Victor Hovland we know and love. So I'm probably going to wait on Victor. I'll watch very closely. I would love to play him at the PGA Championship. I'm going to need a really good performance this week. With Morikawa, it's felt kind of, while the results have been good, it's felt kind of manufactured. You know, it doesn't feel like,
I agree.
It's just a strange thing.
It's not passing the eye test, Greg.
No. And so I don't love it. I don't love either of these guys. That being said, if you play them and they're on the first page of the leaderboard after two rounds, you're feeling pretty darn good having them in your lineup.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Is there a big enough leverage opportunity? Do you think people are going to play away from Morikawa and Homa and Hovland enough to where that's worth the risk?
You know, I don't know, because where does all the ownership in the 9K range go? I guess Homa maybe a little bit of Fleetwood. Maybe people go down to Hideki at 8,900 and leave those guys there. It's just, I don't know if there's enough natural builds that will allow those two to be forgotten. Especially because just results wise, if you look at Collins' results, the results are not the end of the world.
Yeah. So how many DFS players aren't looking at rickrungood.com? Yeah, they're not looking at the red and green squares and they're seeing, oh, Morikawa was playing well.
Well, first off, everybody should be using rickrungood.com. So whoever's not, just absolute silliness. But I think that Victor could be the one that kind of gets left behind. Now, what I want to see is, I want to see 2022 Victor at least, which is great ball striking. And if he's losing around the greens, fine. I can't have both.
Let's get back home.
Yes. Right?
Let's get back home. Yeah, I would love to see that too. I'm not going to take that leap.
No. And then I think we would reevaluate for Louisville.
Yes. Well done, by the way.
Thank you.
I think the other reason why I'm happy to leave these guys behind is I think Sai Thigala could be a fantastic play here as well.
Well, first off, is there a course type for him anymore? Because I would argue, I don't think there is.
Well, that's probably why, like we've said for a long time, he's kind of hard to figure out.
Harbortown, Players, Bay Hill, Riviera, the Plantation Course, Silverado. That's not one type.
No. No, and for a while I thought that was a sign of inconsistency. But as I watch him, I think it's actually the other side of the coin. It's a sign of him being just flat out good. And if he plays his game, it works everywhere, which is pretty cool. Not a lot of guys. There are a lot of players above him where that's not really the case.
Agreed.
Probably not a lot of guys. The guys above him are pretty darn good too. But you know, they're in other DFS slates. We've seen that. So I do think this is a good golf course for him. I think it suits his skill sets. But he's kind of getting to that point where you can play him anywhere. And his results have warranted a start this week.
There are some very interesting names in the 8K range. We've got to find some value in the sevens and the sixes if we want to get if we want to get access, geez, oh man, to Rory McIlroy and Wyndham Clark. We are going to look for those names after a quick word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And we're back. The 8K range still filled with plenty of great names because of the signature event. Hideki Matsuyama, Cam Young, Matt Fitzpatrick, Siwoo Kim, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth right there in the middle. Then we round it out with Russell Henley, Alex Noren, Benyon, Brian Harman, and Hunky Tony Finau. Those are all the eights, Greg.
Pretty good group.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good. There's some question marks for sure, but there's some pretty good stuff here.
This is just 12 guys or whatever, however many there are, that just drive me crazy.
Yeah, I get that.
Jordan Spieth makes me rip my hair out. Justin Thomas makes me rip my hair out. Cam, right. Just all.
I'll start with JT and Spieth. They're no's for me. Let's just get it out there.
Spieth is a hard no. I cannot get away. I fall for Justin Thomas every single week.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. I'm not this week.
All right. I'm not even going to pull up his profile. If I pull up his profile, I'm going to have the same problem. Give me somebody else.
All right. So I think Matt Fitzpatrick's kind of interesting in a strange way. I don't really know why, but I think Matt Fitzpatrick's a great driver of the ball. He has not been driving it his best lately, but he's been putting very well. And I think that could... I think his speed is up to a point where he can handle a golf course like this. And he may be a guy on a leaderboard full of bombers that pops in there because of what he can do on the greens. So I'm very curious with Matt Fitzpatrick.
He's like one of the best putters in the world since February.
Yes. He's gained strokes putting just about every week.
Look at what he does. Look at what he did at the Players. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good enough putter for that to carry him. And if he's leading after round one and leading in strokes game putting, I don't feel like he can't win. You know, you know that he's got that kind of capability. So yeah, I like guys who can fill it up on the greens here. And if I'm looking at lineup construction and we get down into the sevens and 6K ranges and we got a bunch of bombers, bunch of distance guys down there, I don't mind mixing in a shorter hitter or two who's more of a putting specialist. Matt Fitzpatrick would be a great option in that category. Other names in the 8K range that I like would be, I'll just name you the other three that I'm very interested in. Right. Siwoo, Benyon, Tony Finau.
Okay, let's start with Finau, because I want to hear the case for Finau, and then I'm with you on Benyon. I'm probably with you on Siwoo, but let's start with Finau here. This is the one, another guy that
drives you crazy.
Just is causing more gray hairs each week.
Yeah. Well, his record here is kind of so-so. It's average, but I do think that it really allows, just like we said for Wyndham Clark, gives him a little room to hit the ball off the tee, even though the fairways are narrow. I think he's going to be able to air it out with that driver, which seems to only be getting longer. His iron play has been phenomenal this season, which is the main reason why I really like him. Even though he lost strokes around the greens the last 2 weeks, I think he has an extremely underrated short game. And I'm curious about the putter. I'm just so curious. And I've been on this bandwagon for a while, since like Mexico, maybe even before that. I don't even remember. I still think that it's going to happen. I think something really special is going to happen for Tony Finau, and I don't really want to miss it. So it may be personal, but there are definitely some elements in his ball striking and TD green acumen that make him playable here.
How did he turn into such a bad putter?
Well, he goes searching for it, right? He's not a great putter because he's a great ball striker. He goes searching. Next thing you know, you find something that works. It's the toe in the air, and you're like, okay, this is it. And it cools off quickly after the success. Mm-hmm. You stick with it for too long, and now you're back to, you know, building blocks.
Yeah.
So
searching for something else.
Search it for something else. And that's what I would be going on if I were going with Tony Finau, trying to catch a spark on the greens.
Speaking of catching a spark on the greens, Ben Ahn caught a spark at TPC Craig Ranch. He gained 3 strokes putting and put a very sour stretch of putting behind him. Hopefully we'll see. Now, he has done this in the past where he can kind of snap out of this slump and then, you know, gain for a week or two in a row. The driver's a weapon for Ben Ahn. The second shots are a weapon for Ben Ahn. He is very long. His season has been awesome. He's competed in weak events, strong events. It doesn't matter. Ben Ahn's been like, if there was still a most improved player award, Ben Ahn has my vote.
Yeah, Rick. I mean, he was playing on the Corn Ferry Tour 2 years ago.
It's unbelievable. It's been great.
He's in the top 10 in the FedEx Cup without a win more than halfway through the season. That's incredible. So I love what he's done. And I think it's the way he's going about it is extremely reliable, extremely reliable. And I do believe there's some win equity there. If you look at this record and there's a win, after the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, would you be surprised at all? No. Like you could write the story of why Ben Ahn won the Wells Fargo right now. You know, it might be a good idea for Patrick or Kyle to write their gamer right now. They could do that with Ben Ahn.
I would love it if they had to write two gamers, one before the week started and then one, and then we would just be able to read them both.
Oh, that'd be just, it'd be awesome.
So sick.
And we write them here, right on this show.
Yeah, we're writing them right now.
So I think Ben Ahn is like rock solid.
Rock solid and reliable are two words that you use to describe Ben Ahn. And you also said a little bit earlier about how, you know, there are some guys that have non-traditional skill sets. It was like Matt Fitzpatrick relying on the putter and things of that nature. Well, here's Alex Noren, who doesn't do anything great, but he does everything very good. And he did it again at Byron Nelson, where he gained over 2 strokes in each of the 4 major categories, something that he is getting very used to doing. His name is on the first or second page of every single leaderboard. This is the best golf he has played in probably years.
At least 6 years.
Yeah.
He works so hard at the game, and it looks like when you watch him, he's got to work really hard to hit the shot he wants to hit, and it's starting to look a whole lot easier. I think the work that he does is getting to a point where he can play golf. And that's why you're seeing such a well-rounded player. And I love what he's done off the tee. He is not long. This would be I don't think I'd put Noren and Fitzpatrick on the same team. Just limits your chances. I don't know how many of these kind of players you're going to have up near the top, but Alex Noren is certainly a viable option.
Okay. Anybody else in this 8K range, or should we roll on?
One more would be Siwoo Kim. And it's basically everything that we said about Ben Ahn. Maybe he has been better around the greens, which is why he's priced a little higher. But he has been absolutely electric. Tee to green.
Yeah.
Electric.
Yep.
And he went to that left-hand low putting style. I think it's close for him.
So do I. I mean, the stat profile is one that's like, it's about to snap. Like, that's what it feels like.
And you mean that in a positive way?
100%.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean that he is about to just pop up to the top of the leaderboard. Like, it is, that's what this, you cannot be this amazing from tee to green. And we know he is capable of gaining, you know, 2, 3, 4 strokes putting. Some way, it's like, it is just going to marry up and it's going to be good.
And he won the Players Championship at, what was he, 20? Was he 23 or was he 21? I mean, it's ridiculously young.
Yeah.
And so, you know that he has the ability to contend to compete, and this is not an $8,600 profile when you look at this statistically. Even when you look at the results, it's been amazingly consistent. So yeah, I think Siwoo, Ben Ahn are as reliable as it gets in the 8K range.
The sevens start with Sung J.M., who withdrew last week before the start of the Byron Nelson. Will Zalatoris, both of those are 7,900. Corey Connors, Jason Day, Adam Scott. The middle of the range, I'm skipping guys here. We'll get you Steven Yeager, Shane Lowry. The bottom of the range will get you Tom Kim, JT Poston, maybe a little bit of Adam Schenck. So, Greg, how do you want to spend your funds here?
Well, first of all, this is just a general rule of thumb. I'm going to play Will Zalatoris.
That's the rule?
This is a major championship venue. Yeah. And major championship venues, at least those in the U.S., I play Will Zalatoris. Every time I do that, it works.
The cheapest he's been definitely since the comeback, right? Like since he came back and he's played well since then. It is very rare. I'm scrolling. It is very, very rare to get a $7,900 Will Zalatoris.
And that should be taken advantage of. You know, I know there's the back issue, and that's concerning for me too. But I have a sense that not playing last week had a lot to do with the schedule. And it may have been more soreness than injury. And for that reason, I think there's a very realistic chance that that was no big deal. There's a chance that it's a huge deal, right? But you know that's the risk we run here. But I think the price doesn't reflect the possibility that this was a little tight. I'll take a week off so I don't have to play 5 weeks in a row, including a major at the end of it. So this is a major championship venue with Will Zalatoris at 7,900. It feels like stealing, and I'm going to go ahead and walk right into that trap if it is one. And I'm not going to look back. I also think there's a ton of viable options in this range.
Yeah, I think there are two, especially down towards the bottom. But before we get there, Zalatoris is 7,900 as discussed. If you liked Sung J.M. last week, and you just got from what we understand, he just a little illness, a little under the weather. I guess I got to go back to him this week.
Yeah.
We just learned nothing that should change my mind negatively.
No, I don't know. I wasn't really on him last week.
Yeah, well, then you should stay away. Basically, whatever you thought last week should be your same thought this week.
All right, good. So I'm staying away. Okay. I'm not sold on the Sung J yet.
Are you sold on BB Go yet? After all those commercials?
BB can't Go. Get it out of my head.
So good.
It was just starting to get out of my head until you brought me up.
Sorry about that.
It's amazingly catchy.
I like the dance. I've been working on it, and the food is actually pretty good. I had it before. It's like legit. So,
all right, good. That's good to hear. I would try it. I love that kind of food.
Yeah. All right. Where else are we going?
Okay. So Will Zalatoris is a must. I think Akshay Bhatia sitting here.
Oh, interesting.
Well, there are two guys at 7,500, both of them. Akshay Bhatia and Steven Yeager, I love.
Yeah, I knew we were going to get to Yeager, so let's start with Akshay.
All right, so starting with Akshay, T18 at the RBC Heritage. Look at what he did with the driver before the RBC Heritage.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go back to the Shriners in the fall to find him losing 0.03 strokes off the tee. And what's before so nice- that, you got to go back to Wells Fargo from last year.
And what's so nice is it kind of makes sense because of how unique Harbortown is, right? That like there's just like zero care that a guy who always drives it well lost three strokes at Harbortown.
Right. I know he lost strokes last time he played here at the Wells Fargo, but it's unlikely to happen again. So I'm all in on that. I think what he's done with his iron play, like the one place since February that he lost strokes approaching the green was at the Masters. And as a rookie, I know that what Ludvig Åberg did was amazing, but it's very understandable for a great ball striker to go to Augusta National and struggle on those approach shots. So no fault there. So you look at what he's done with the putter. You're talking about, Rick, five events in a row, he's gained strokes putting.
Yep.
This guy is checking every box for me. And I think he's a must play.
Yeah, that's interesting. He wasn't really on my radar. This is like the most quiet stretch of really good golf, maybe because Scotty's been eating up the oxygen and everything else that's going on. But yes, this is pretty darn good. Steven Yeager also has a win in that stretch. Both these guys have won in their last five starts. We talk about Steven Yeager basically every single week, Greg, and I continue to be as excited this week as I was last week, the week before that.
Hey, it's like you said about Sungjae, the way you felt last week, you should feel the same again. Because that T20 finish is, it's right in that spot,
yep,
where it's not going to sway me either way. I'm a little more concerned with his putting than Akshay's, or less excited about it than Akshay's. I'm probably more concerned with Akshay's putting, actually, than Yeager's in general. But I'm more excited about Akshay's putter, if that makes any sense.
It doesn't. Why? Why would you be? Because Akshay is like 20 years old and he's already trying out gimmicks.
Yeah, yeah. But it's working for 5 weeks. Yeah, is that a trap? It could be, but it's worth the risk, in my opinion. But what Yeager has done, what he has changed in his game has changed his entire game, and that's his speed off the tee. Mm-hmm. He's a totally different player. And on a golf course now where distance will be very important, the rough's down at 2 inches this week. Like I said, Steven Yeager's like an absolute go again this week.
The bottom of the range is pretty interesting as well. I'm fairly high on Adam Schenck, who's been playing great golf. He's starting to find the second shot again. I don't even mind Denny McCarthy, Greg, who finished eighth here last year. Remember, if Akshay doesn't exist, he wins the Texas Open by like five shots. So there's a couple of, I think, really interesting pieces down here towards the bottom.
I'm totally with you on Adam Schenck. Denny is very interesting. It's a great point. But the guy that's really jumping off the page to me is Sepp Straka.
Oh, okay.
This profile is, this is a totally different guy. This guy's a popper. He's priced like a popper right now, mm-hmm. But he's been consistent. I mean, T16, T5, T11. He missed the cut at the Valspar, but before that, T16 at the Players Championship. He's been phenomenal off the tee, which is not really what he's done throughout his career. I think he's had some good streaks, but I really think Sepp Straka has found something with his golf swing. And he has such a strong ability to get just blazing hot.
Hits a ton of greens. Hits it well from those longer proximities as well. Interesting.
Yeah. So he's down in this range. I love Schenck too, but I think in the lower 7K range, Straka is my guy this week.
I think he got a new headshot. That looks new to me.
Upgrade.
Right? I haven't seen that one before. That looks like he just got a new headshot done. Wow.
Well, okay. It's nice.
Yeah. He looks nice. Yeah. I like the collar outside the sweater. That's a good
solid.
Yeah.
Very solid. Okay. What do you think about Schenck?
Love him. Look at what he's done. So he has legit top 10 upside in a lot of different fields, and look at what he's done. So he slumped here. American Express to Valspar, he just could not, even find the back of the golf ball. And then now he's starting to get back to the form that we saw last summer, which ran him all the way to the Tour Championship. It's why he's in all these events. He made a deep run into the playoffs, and he's playing now like he was then. I'm way in on Schenck.
Best season of his career last year. Best performance in a major in his first Masters. With a T12, best finish ever at the Players Championship. He has a T5 at the Valero Texas Open, and he's coming off a couple of, two out of the last three are top 15. So I love what Adam Schenck's doing, and I think he could play well at Quail Hollow too.
Agreed. Now, if we're trying to jam Rory McIlroy and Wyndham Clark into the same lineup, we're going to need to step down here into the 6K range. It's not always pretty. It starts with Keegan Bradley and Ricky Fowler. the middle of the range, Brendan Todd, Jake Knapp. The bottom of the range, Ben Coles, Grayson Murray, Nick Dunlap, Peter Malnati. I think there are options here, Greg. I think there's options. Let's find them.
These are not going to look like what they look like at the top. Okay, but I want to start. I cannot believe I'm actually saying this.
I don't know.
I wrote down five names, and I have a line after the first two. First two, I'm willing and excited to play. The other three, I think, are very playable options. So we'll start with the first two. One, I can't believe I'm saying it. I cannot believe it, but it's Ricky Fowler.
Ricky Fowler.
That was quick, Josh. Did you tell Josh you were going to say that?
No, but he knew it. He's looking at it saying, I know where he's going.
What on God's green earth has you interested in Ricky Fowler?
I think we're seeing signs of life. Okay. The short game seems to be back. That's a strength, a staple of Ricky Fowler's game. He's gained a stroke or more, stroke and a half or more in his last four events around the green. In his last three events, he's gained strokes approaching the green, so those two things are good signs. The putter, which was deep red early in the year, seems to be leveling out, getting to beige. Okay, so we're seeing some positive signs. Like there's some green on the board, perhaps a little bit of momentum. I have a sense that things are coming together in his golf swing. And then you look at the record here. You know he won his first PGA Tour event here back in 2012. He, in his last three starts at Quail Hollow, he's got a T4, a missed cut, and a T14, which was last year. I am kind of excited about this record. It's a great record. One, two, three, four, five top tens here at a T14. It's pretty good.
I hate to say it. I think I agree with you.
It's early.
I'm not as excited as you are, but here's what I've always said. When a golfer loses their best weapon, it is long slump is coming. Ricky lost the putter. I would argue the putter's back. Okay. One, all two, right. Four, five. Five out of seven he's gained with the putter. Okay. That's fine. I'm happy with that. Around the green, you mentioned it. That's great. Check off a couple boxes. Approach play. You're right. Much better. The history here. Great. Okay. No pressure. Not four guaranteed rounds. Okay. I mean, I can absolutely get here on Ricky.
Yeah. And he's 6,900, right? We're not asking a whole lot.
No, we're not.
Now you probably need one or two additional 6K guys if you're in the Wyndham Clark, Rory McIlroy stack. So we're going to need more than just Ricky Fowler at 6,900, okay. As much as I love it. The next place I would go is Cameron Davis.
6,400,
which I think helps you with your salary. And I think there's very high upside. I'm worried about the floor, which is why he's 6,400, but he's gained strokes off the tee in his last three, approaching the green in two out of his last three, two out of his last three on the greens. I kind of like this combo, T12 at the Masters, T21 in Houston, T49 at the RBC Heritage, which was a little bit disappointing, especially on the greens. But I think Quail Hollow could kind of suit his game. Best finish here is at T26 in 2021.
Okay. That's fine. I like Cam Davis in general, so that's not going to beat me up too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it's not as much of a hot streak as it is a kind of course fit, play.
Let me try a couple here.
Yeah.
This one. Okay. I'll get to the one that I'm embarrassed about saying in a second. I'm not super embarrassed about saying Austin Ekeroat, who after the win has just continued to play great golf, and he's piling up good finishes. He's a great ball striker, and then he putted well at Harbortown. We didn't see what he did at Zurich, and I don't really care what he did at Zurich, but he finished T11 with his partner. So I'll just that one's interesting to me.
Yeah, I can get on board there.
The one I'm probably a little embarrassed at is Brendan Todd.
I wouldn't be embarrassed about it.
Okay, good. Because this is like on paper the antithesis of like a good golf course for Brendan Todd, but he's played well here.
Yes. And I think I understand why. He puts the eyes out of it here. He separates himself on the greens here.
17 and a half strokes gained putting in his last two starts. The other thing, Greg, and I don't know how much I should care about this, but I was running the numbers today and all I was looking at was the green mile, like how many strokes guys gain or lose on the green mile. It's kind of like where the event is won or lost. And the guys who gain a lot, they've like won this event. It's like, you know, it's like Ricky, Homa, Rory, etc. Brendan Todd has been better than anybody. Now he only has like, I think I went back to 2018. So I think it was only two starts for him, but he's been better in the green mile than anybody else in this field.
Okay.
And
you can handle the green mile.
If you can handle the green mile, and Jordan Spieth has been by far the worst, by the way.
Not surprising at all. I mean, I picture Jordan at Quail Hollow. He's just around the creek, like either in it, right on the edge of it, taking a drop near it.
He's just waiting up. He's got his waders on and he's just like up, walking up the creek at all times.
Yeah. It's like this fairway is so narrow. No, that's a creek.
All right. What else? I still got four.
All right. I'll give you another guy. How about Lucas Glover?
Okay. I saw the green next to his name here. So I was looking over here. 11th at Valspar, 25th at Texas Open, 20th at the Masters, 33rd at the RBC Heritage. I think it's just a situation where he's kind of lost those putting gains, right? So he's kind of just back to Valspar and Texas Open were pretty good.
Yeah.
Valspar and Masters, excuse me. But he's kind of just back to like regular Lucas Glover, which is pretty fine, especially at this price.
Yeah. And he played really well here when he was putting well, at least putting well. He putted well here. He won this event in 2011. He's got a couple other top tens. He has a second. So he has a pretty decent record here. And I just love the way he's been hitting the ball. I mean, it's like his whole career. But I think Lucas Glover could be a nice value play. All right, hit me with another.
I know it's been maybe not a great couple of starts, but there is zero planet in which Nick Taylor should be cheaper than Webb Simpson. I don't care where Webb lives. I don't care what hole his house is on, 7. I don't care. Why is Nick Taylor potentially a top 30 player in the world, $6,200?
It's a very fair question. Now, not a great course fit, not a great recent success, but look, it's better at the Zurich, and we don't have numbers for that.
He's had two bad starts. He got smashed at the Masters, and he didn't play well at Harbortown.
Yeah, he didn't play well at Valspar either. I guess he struggled around the greens there, right?
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, give him a pass for that. I think Nick Taylor's a fine play.
I just think 6,200. I just think he's way too cheap.
Yeah. You're right. He is too cheap.
Thank you.
He's definitely too cheap.
Okay, your turn.
all right. So another guy, I feel like he's too cheap. It's probably not egregious as Nick Taylor, but that would be Matthew Pavone.
Who
I still think is just a great player.
Yeah.
Who can get red hot on the greens. Pretty solid all around game.
He's the European Hideki, the guy that's just like no respect. Just like the price is always like $1,500 cheaper than it should be.
Right. So I'm willing to go in on that at 6,500.
Still plays all over the world. Still plays well. No problem.
Just a great golfer.
Yeah.
And this golf course suits that. I mean, I know every golf course does, but like these guys, you don't have to be a specialist here at Quail Hollow. You know, good golf's rewarded. And I think Matthew Pavon can do that.
Let me get your thoughts on Nick Dunlap. He is the min price.
Yeah.
$6,000. We are seeing it's a low bar, but it's better. It's better. T11 in Houston. He missed the cut at the Masters, but he gained 2.5 strokes ball strike and gained 3.5 on approach. Got obliterated at Harbortown and then was much more solid at the Byron Nelson.
He was a sneaky play for me at the RBC Heritage. I thought he was going to do really well. I backed him, played him. I really liked Nick Dunlap, and he hurt me.
I'm sorry.
But I'm not afraid of it. I think Nick Dunlap will turn a corner. I think he's good enough.
Greg is ready to get hurt again.
I'm ready to get hurt again. He is very fast. He's a lot longer than you think.
He is the dead min in a no cut event. How much could he possibly hurt?
He could come in last.
Okay.
That's the worst it could get.
But if he comes in like 50th, we got away with it. And if he comes in 30th, we're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
I don't know.
I'm willing, reluctantly willing. You know, if I get some five players in my lineup that I really like, and I got $6,300 left to spend, I'm willing to go there.
They're gonna say I'm probably taking Adam Spencer,
taking Nick Taylor. I probably would take Nick.
But if I have exactly $6,000 left, I've already played Ben Coles, I might take Nick Dunlap.
No, I would give him more respect than that. You know, if I have $6,100 left, I would take Nick Dunlap.
There we go. That's all I ask. All right. Anybody else down here?
This is more of a question mark. Mackenzie Hughes. I think Mackenzie Hughes is a member here.
At least
plays here a lot.
I always get tripped up on that because I've heard guys who say, like, I see the course so often one way, and then when it's tournament conditions, it looks so different.
Yeah. Totally get it.
Scares me.
I just love what he's done on the greens.
Yeah, he's also very, very cheap, and he's been Mackenzie Hughes is like the blueprint of a popper, and he has been his entire career.
Yes. And he pops on hard courses a lot.
He does not keep his card with 40th place finishes. He keeps his card because three times a year he finishes second.
Yep. He's got a chance to win, which I love.
Yeah.
That's if I was going to be a card keeper, I'd want it to be that way. You know?
Yeah, of course.
You get a chance to win. He plays in final groups on Sunday.
And then he does it. And then when it's a bad week, he gets to go home early.
Yeah. He hasn't missed a cut all year. I know, Mexico. He missed a cut in Mexico.
He's actually been better than I'm giving him credit for.
He's been very good.
Yeah. Okay. I think I like that.
Yeah, I'd be willing.
Well, we got to get our one and done selections in. Not now. We just got to get them in before Tuesday's show. And it's a big boy, $20 million. No Scotty, no Ludvig. What are you going to do?
Oh, I know where I'm going.
You do? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's actually already submitted.
Really?
Yeah, I did it today. Partly because I'm confident in it. Also, partly because tomorrow's just going to be a wild day for me. I do not want to miss it. So I put it in before this show, and I'm very confident in it.
Wow. Okay. I'm excited to see what it is. Now, also breaking news, Tuesday's show will be 15 minutes earlier. We are adjusting a little bit of the timing. We got some things we got to move around, but we are going to go at, God, what time is that, Josh?
4:45.
Thank you. PM Eastern time. I knew it wasn't 1:45, because that's my time. 4:45 PM Eastern time will be the mega preview pod. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, recap episodes. Then PGA Championship is like the full schedule where you get shows on CBS Sports Network, where we got stuff from on the ground. The whole shebang.
We're running the gamut. Mm. We'll be talking golf all week. And you'll be there again, right? This is the typical shebang.
Shebang, shebang.
All right. I love it. I can't wait. The PGA Championship is an awesome tournament every year.
It's had the best finishes for like the last 5 years.
Every year. I mean, it's a hard golf course and it's hard for the right reasons. It's like the fourth major, which I mean, you're talking about the fourth best golf tournament in the world. And it is so underrated. It's the only way I can put it. It's underrated. And it's the fourth best tournament in the world.
You know who's not underrated? Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at The Real GFD. Producer Josh does all the hard work behind the scenes. Producer Josh here on a Monday. That doesn't usually happen, but hey, things are brewing. Thanks, Josh. You can find me at Rick Rungood. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
World of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!